Voters in North Carolina have approved a very controversial amendment to the state constitution that defines marriage as the legal union of a man and a woman. Not only outlaws same-sex marriage, it was already illegal in the state, but it bans civil unions and domestic partnerships for gay and straight couples, and it was approved 61% to 39%.
Whatever your personal, moral, or religious views may be, writing discrimination into North Carolina's constitution is just plain wrong.
That's North Carolina Governor Bev Perdue, who called yesterday's vote her state's Rosa Parks moment, because she said Amendment 1 was about taking away people's civil rights. 29 other states already have constitutional amendments prohibiting same-sex marriage. That includes all the southeastern states. North Carolina was the last of that region to do so. And one reason this vote has had so many close watchers nationally is North Carolina's position as a likely battleground state in the 2012 elections and host to the Democratic National Convention. So joining us now, Republican State Senator Dan Suchek, who represents North Carolina's 45th district, co-sponsor of the amendment. And Dan, let's explain, first of all, why you needed a constitutional amendment when same-sex marriage was already illegal.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. And the primary reason was because with a law, it would be possible for a rogue judge to overturn the will of the elected people, the elected representatives of the people of North Carolina. And there were already situations where people were judge shopping to try to find a judge to do that. And we thought the best possible process would be for the people of North Carolina to vote on what their constitution in their state was going to say the definition of marriage was.
And in fact, the effort to overturn this vote has already begun today. What do you make of that?
I expected it, but to overturn in the courts what the Constitution says is quite a bit difficult because judges are required to judge according to the Constitution. So that was why this amendment was strengthening, is because it allows the people to decide, not a judge.
I wonder, you know, Dan, the state speaker of the House there, Tom Tillis, said that in 20 years this amendment will be repealed because national support for gay marriage is growing. And in fact, you know, for the first time ever, I'm sure you've seen these poll numbers, more than half of Americans support the rights of gays to marry. Do you think that eventually North Carolina will allow in 20 years, as your colleague says?
Well, no, I disagree with his prediction there. But I will say that just as we had a process here to decide what the Constitution says, it's always open to the people of North Carolina to decide their Constitution. And if they decide to go through the same process again, they can change it. But you have a poll that talks about what the majority of Americans think, but I think the most telling poll is what the voting blocks have said. Over 63% of Americans, when going to the poll to vote on this, have voted in favor of traditional marriage, and that's the average across the 31 states that have approved this. So I think that's the most important poll, is what people think.
Republican State Senator Dan Suchek, who was a co-sponsor of this amendment in there in North Carolina. Also joining us is Kareem Creighton, Associate Professor of Law at the University of North Carolina. And Kareem, what is it about the constitutional amendment? From what I understand, people go for this kind of amendment because it's more permanent. It's more difficult, as you heard Dan explain, to challenge in court. Is that correct?
Yes. Generally speaking, when one tries to enact a constitutional provision, one expects that over the course of time, regardless of fluctuations in the majority at any given moment in the legislature, that a certain commitment remains in effect. The hard question, I think, is how the language changed from its initial version, which only addressed the question of marriage, which was already illegal in North Carolina, to now expanding to any, as the language of the amendment says, any domestic relationship or domestic union.
So explain to me how this also refers to domestic unions, as you say, for even a straight couple.
Well, the language initially as it was conceived seems specifically to talk about the relationship known as marriage, which is obviously a term of art in the law that gives you a bundle of rights. Somehow, between the initial plan that was devised in the House in North Carolina and the time it found its way onto the ballot as Amendment 1, the language tended to expand to any question involving a domestic relationship. And a domestic relationship would be a domestic relationship by either a differently sexed couple or a same-sex couple. And I think most of the recent debate about the amendment going too far was that it expanded the prohibition to affect relationships that most people thought were pretty much intact.
You know, Dan Suchek, a state senator from North Carolina, I wonder if you feel as though votes are really the deciding factor in terms of civil rights. There's so many civil rights, the right to interracial marriage, the right to vote. There's so many of those that ended up having to be granted to American citizens through the courts that would not have perhaps passed by popular vote.
Right. I think you bring up a good point there, but I think there's a fundamental difference between a civil right and a privilege. The way you're born, a man or a female, or the race you're born, is something that you're born with. The decisions you have of who you marry is a decision you choose. And so I think there's a fundamental difference between a privilege that the state grants through the the state is the extension of the people of the state, and we have live in a representative republic. When they say that this is a privilege which is beneficial to society, is different than something you're fundamentally born with. So I think there is a difference between a civil right and something that's important and significant but doesn't raise to the level of a right.
So, Kareem Creighton, you're associate professor of law at the University of North Carolina. How do the courts feel about marriage? Do they define it as a right or a privilege?
Well, you know, a lot of these questions, at least in North Carolina, haven't been fully litigated. But again, the existence of current law right now is decidedly on the side of recognizing only marital relationships between men and women and differently sexed connections. But the point about a conversation as to how, in politics, I guess, you understand the difference between a privilege and a right, I think the state senator is correct that, of course, you do submit these things in some cases to the electorate to decide. But it's important to remember that this particular ballot measure was put on during a primary where only about a third of the registered voters actually showed up to cast ballots, which isn't to say that this is an illegitimate outcome. Obviously, the majority of the people decided what they did in this election. However, it does raise the interesting question as to why this was pursued in the May as opposed to the November ballot, where traditionally we find significantly higher levels of turnout. So if the people were to have a conversation, you would think more people rather than fewer people would be good to be involved in the process.
An important point for November. Kareem Creighton, associate professor of law at the University of North Carolina, and State Senator Dan Suchek, Republican member of the North Carolina State Senate. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.